This morning's reading is from 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verses 3 through 9. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace that God has been given you. Because of the grace God that has given been given to you in Christ Jesus, for in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you, Jim. I love this reading from 1 Corinthians, a beautiful reading. It's the beginning of his letter, his first letter to that church in that fabulous city. Especially that ninth verse, God is faithful. By God you are called into the fellowship of the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a Sunday of hope. And we didn't say this directly to the kids while they were in here, but we all know, us adults, that the hopes mature. But this time of year, it's not much different than when we were little kids, is it? There's a sense of something magical that might happen. A sense that perhaps this year everything will go according to plan. That somehow I think I hope much deeper now than I did when I was a kid. Much deeper. But in truth, not much different. Now, in Paul's day, when he wrote this letter, he was writing to the city of Corinth. And that city was not dirt poor. In fact, that city, Corinth, sophisticated place. It was a major, major trade center, a port for the whole peninsula. And so there were sailors walking through all the time. There's a whole lot of money. And there's a whole lot of, shall we diplomatically call it, culture in Corinth. And these individuals in the Corinthian church were not worried about where their next meal was coming from, as with some of the other believers in other areas. They were worried about not being swallowed up by all of the temptations that surrounded them, all the ways that they could be greedy, lustful, distracted. In a word, they were like us in a lot of ways. For most of us, we know our next meal is going to make it to the table. We know that soldiers aren't going to come and seize our property anytime soon. We know we aren't going to get strung up on a cross or burned at the stake for being Christian. And our hope tends to be that we can keep it together, that we can keep some scope of what the season is like, and that we can live godly lives, isn't it? That we can express our love for our God, and God can express back. Our hope is for the peace and reality of Christ to be a part of our lives. And I can't help but think of the headlines of the last few days in that Walmart down in Nassau County. And I can't help to think of 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, all those people gathered outside those doors. And you know, all those people are a lot like you and me. And they all have hopes. They all had hopes. And I'm sure none of them approached their first day of Christmas shopping with an idea that they could just trample over anything and everything to get what they want. And it doesn't begin that way when we make a mistake. It doesn't begin that way. It begins with distraction. It begins with a failure to think ahead to what your actions may cause to happen. So people at the back of a crowd start to push. They got no idea what's happening with the people at the front of the crowd. Certainly no idea what's happening with the people on the other side of those doors. And things happen. And a man is dead. Family man, temp service job, probably just trying to earn some extra money for his Christmas. And what do we do with that? What do we do with a celebration inside a luxury hotel that suddenly turns into horror and disaster? What do we do with the actions that our brothers and sisters sometimes undertake? The worst thing we can do, the most hopeless thing we can do, is to think for a moment that we're immune to making the same sorts of mistakes. Because we are. The second thing we should do is look at someone like Paul and his recipe for those Corinthians who were right in the heart of so much distraction, so many things that made it hard for them to follow Christ. Paul reminds them that God is faithful. Paul reminds them God is faithful, and God chose you to follow Jesus. God chose you to be people of the way. God is faithful, and God chose you. You and me, those of us gathered here. Let's unpack that a little. What is Paul saying to these people? He's saying that just as they have hopes for God, God has hope for them. God has hope for you and for me. Hope that when we're in difficult situations, we'll make the right choice. Hope that we won't forget who we are and what's important to us. Hope that we won't twist things around so with our greed or our anger, but that we do things that won't make God proud. Hope that we will be everything we can be. Now, most of us hope for something and for God. But do we spend a lot of time thinking about how God hopes for us? I mean, in your life right now, what is God hoping you will do? What is God hoping you will do with your Christmas shopping? What is God hoping you will do with your family relationships? What is God hoping you will do with the words you speak and the gestures you make? What is God's hope for you? Now, God's gone through an awful lot to communicate to us. Sent us a series of prophets. When that didn't work, sent us God's own boy. And that's only kind of worked. And I think it's only kind of worked because there's a lot of us who are still waiting for God to come and make everything right again. And I believe God will come and make everything right again, but that doesn't absent us from the process. That doesn't excuse us from ushering in some of God's hope, from ushering in some of God's love, peace, and joy. God is faithful. By God, we were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are not lacking in any spiritual gift as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says to us. We've got everything in place right now to do God's will, to be the people of hope. We've got everything, all the grace and all the peace we need right now to make that happen. Hope. I remember hoping I would get a foosball table and hoping I would get a shiny new bicycle and hoping soccer balls and all sorts of other things that have since worn out. But I recognize as an adult that as a kid what I really hoped for was comfort and security, a family that was together in love, in warmth. I really hoped for was a special smile and a special Christmas. Time with my parents and with my siblings. Not too much time with my siblings. If we look at the way we live our lives, Teresa said something so wise. She said, at any given moment, that which we run the hardest toward is our God. And when we're running hard toward the shelves at Walmart, well, what God are we serving at that moment? When we run hard to try to disrupt people's lives, the machine gun and the grenade launcher are God of the moment. Our hope lies in the fact that God has so much hope for us. Our hope lies in the fact that God is so faithful to us and has equipped us in so many ways. I mean, look at the 100 and some people in this room and your children over in the other room practicing for the Christmas pageant. Our hope is in each other and in a God that has equipped us with so many gifts. Thanksgiving Day here was such a cool thing. I wish that every single person in this room and a lot of the people not in this room, one Thanksgiving would come and help out at that dinner or just come to eat and see what has been created. We had people from every walk of life just enjoying each other's presence in a very relaxed setting where everyone was laughing. Everyone felt warm and appreciated and cared for. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. There were people who came just for a few minutes and stayed all day. It was what our faith community is all about. Now, I wouldn't begrudge you your family Thanksgivings, not by any stretch. But I would suggest that you are already the hope you want for the world, that you already have God's instructions written on your hearts, that you and I can choose in the harried rush for the latest and greatest present or the biggest and best cookie, we could very easily choose just to have a busy December. We could choose to have a pretty house or perfectly cooked turkey. Or we could choose to do our very best to live up to the hope that God has for us and make this Christmas one of those special ones. Make this Christmas a time where you sit and you take it all in for a few minutes. Take a mental picture of all the blessings around us. Or pull out the pictures of all the blessings of Christmas past. And know that God is so faithful. And God rejoices in who you are. And our faithful God has every hope and every belief in who you will become. Let's have more than a Merry Christmas. Let's have a hope-filled, faithful Christmas.